Vince Gill is a country music superstar, but on his latest album, he takes a poke at the fickle nature of fame. For a little while, you can do no wrong. Live it up, son, 'cause it don't last long. There's always somebody waiting in the wings, thinking they're gonna be the next big thing. That's the title song, Next Big Thing. Vince Gill has sold more than 22 million albums. He has 15 Grammys, 18 Country Music Awards, and somehow at the age of 46, he finds himself on the older end of the country music curve. Gill made his first bluegrass album when he was 18. He joined the Southern California soft rock group Pure Prairie League a few years later, and when he moved to Nashville, his soaring tenor and his hot guitar playing made him a solo star. The new album, the first he's produced by himself, was originally going to be called This Old Guitar and Me. It's a true story.
When I was 18, I took off to Louisville, Kentucky to play bluegrass, and if you're going to play bluegrass, you've got to have a great old instrument. It's kind of the law, you know. A lot of
history and music inside that wood.
Yeah, so I kind of felt like I needed a great guitar. And I found this old D-28 Martin. It was made in 1942. And it was in perfect condition. It's like it sat under somebody's bed for the last 40 years, or however many years it was. And so I completely emptied out all my savings account to buy this guitar, and that was going to be my college money and whatever getting started money that I'd saved my whole life since a little kid, and didn't tell my folks, and so there I was, broke with this great guitar, and off we went. And it's kind of a story of our journey,
and now it's a song.
It is.
Could we hear some of that?
Sure.
Okay, so this is This Old Guitar and Me.
This old guitar and me, and the things that we've been through. C.F. Martin built him back in 1942. Well, I remember when we met, I was only 17. I spent all my college money on a half a dozen strings. Well, I thought my folks would kill me, but I found out I was wrong. They said your future's written on your face, you sing those traveling songs. So we headed for Kentucky with a suitcase full of dreams, my rough out boots, a few t-shirts, and a worn out pair of jeans. And it goes on to tell the story of all my indiscretions, and it turns out in the end that the guitar is the symbol of God, in that it says, this old guitar and me did the best we could. One was born a sinner and one a piece of wood. God sent a wooden angel to guide me on my way. We were meant to be together until my dying day. So it's a sweet story.
That must be a really moving song to play, I would think, when you're performing.
It is fun because it's really interesting because it's the truth about my life in the last 25, 26 years, I guess, since I left home and started making a living, you know, playing music.
You're from Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that Oklahoma tends to pop up in your song lyrics from time to time.
Sure, yeah.
I want to ask you about Herman Stover on a song on this new CD, the song Old Time Fiddle.
I miss old Herman Stover. I play and listen to the mockingbird. Sound I ever heard. A skinny old man in a cowboy band who can barely get the people in the door. I want to hear it all time fiddle like you never get to hear anymore. Well, when I was young, I was really young, and my family all played a little bit, you know, and everybody loved to play a little bit of music. And my dad was from a little town called Piedmont, Oklahoma. And it was the smallest town you could ever imagine. You know, it had one stop sign, nobody stopped at it. And every now and then, everybody would get together and go out to this place. It was called Stover Hall. It's just a big, empty barn, basically. And everybody would bring some food and something to drink and musical instruments, and everybody would play and they'd dance. And he was this really quite great fiddle player. I didn't know that at the time. You know, he was like, I think he was a grandmaster fiddle champion many years ago, and
and played those great old fiddle tunes, and I was just always mesmerized by his playing. He would play this one song called Listen to the Mockingbird, and when the fiddle players would play that song, it's an old standard that all fiddle players play, and they do impersonations of birds. You know, they can go do these little things, and they sound like birds on the fiddle. And I swore that there were actual birds in this man's fiddle. I'd go up there and look in the F-holes and try to find the birds. And I don't know, I just was sitting around with Leslie Satcher, great songwriter, and was telling her the story. She says, well, we've got to write about Herman Stover. We've just got to tell that story. So it's a true story about an old guy that used to play the fiddle when I was a kid. And I love the kind of fiddle playing I love is that really kind of old-timey, old-school fiddle playing. I'm not real crazy about the new ways they play the fiddle these days. It's like Jimi Hendrix has a fiddle.
A couple of the songs on the new CD talk about the phenomenon of getting older in the music business and watching the next generation come up and sometimes squeeze you a little bit out of the way. One of them, Next Big Thing, is done fairly tongue-in-cheek.
Very much so, yeah.
I guess you do have to keep a sense of humor about that.
I do. You know, I think it, you know, I love to watch the kids come along, you know, and you know, I feel like the best advice I ever got, I don't remember who it was that told me this, but they just said, be gracious on the way up, be gracious on the way down. And I watched a lot of people, you know, be gracious on the way up, but then when they turned that faucet off, they got a little bitter. And I would think, golly, that doesn't serve you very well to be that way. And so I kind of wanted to, I know you're probably referring to Young Man's Town, and that song was really meant to be the really the spirit of that advice that I got.
It's melancholy too, though.
It is. There's this really sweet sadness to it, you know, because it's interesting when it, you know, I felt not on a large scale, but on a small scale, just that feeling of kind of like where they do kind of edge you off to the side a little bit, and you're not quite as rocking as you once were, you know. And as I finished the song, I said, well, this is much more universal than just a singer, you know, that they've cast aside and put a new one in his place. It's really it's a story about life.
Could we hear some of Young Man's Tale?
Oh, sure. Let's see.
You wake up one morning and it's passed you by. You don't know when and you don't know why. You feel like an old memory hanging round. Well, man, you gotta face it, it's a young man's town. You knew this day was coming all along. Why bitch and moan and say they've done you wrong? Just teach them what you know and pass it on down. 'Cause man, you gotta face it, it's a young man's town. Well, it's a young man's town, full of young men's dreams. And all God's children gotta learn to spread their wings. Sometimes you gotta stand back and watch them burn it to the ground. Even though you built it, it's a young man's town.
That last line you sang, it's funny. I've been interpreting it as a destructive thing, burn it to the ground. But I wonder if it could be seen another way.
Yeah, I kind of equated it to like being a parent almost, in that, you know, I've got a 20-year-old daughter and you know, there's times that you can't tell someone something. And the truth is that you really, if you want the kids to learn what you know, you've got to let them go make mistakes. you know, you can't ever learn anything if you don't go make a mistake. And I've made plenty. And I feel like my daughter has to go out there and make those mistakes to finally get it.
This is your daughter, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
We hear her on this CD singing back up with you on the song Whippoorwill River.
Yeah, my daughter, she's quite a great little singer. And she really is completely ate up with wanting to play and sing music.
Let's hear a little bit of the song. We'll listen to the chorus where you're together, and then we can talk about it a little bit.
Well, he loves to go fishing on a whippoorwill river, riding his granddad's canoe. We teach him about life and its simple pleasures, and pass down a memory. Yeah, he loves to go fish on a whippoorwill river, catch him a big one or two. He's learning about life and its simple pleasures, making a memory.
You know, I want to cry when I hear it. Out of all the years I've done this, I've been the guy that's gone into so many records and sung the harmony parts and loved doing it. I think it's easy 400 or 500 different artists that I've worked on their records over the years, and I love that process. But what I really love most is that blood harmony like the Everly Brothers have. And when you hear that blood sing together, it's unlike anything else in the world, and I've waited all these years to finally get to hear that.
It's an amazing thing, because it's very hard to tell where your voice stops and where hers starts.
Yeah, it's inspiring. I know this sounds somewhat arrogant, but it's really inspiring to hear my voice in my kid, and you can hear that little that buzz that is blood, and there's nothing like it.
Vince Gill, thanks so much.
You bet.
Vince Gill's latest CD is called Next Big Thing. To see a video of Vince Gill performing in our studio and to hear more from his live performance, you can visit our website, npr.org.